Hello, Path Pod listeners. Welcome to Path, Positive Approaches to Health. This is our podcast where we travel the world and talk to all kinds of folks who are doing amazing and innovative things in the health and well-being space. My name is Jenny Pitcher, and I am on today with my bestie out in Campbell, California. Who do I have over there?
That would be me. Roll call, Tony Toledo.
Oh, and I should say I'm coming at you from Columbus, Ohio. And so we're doing a funny little episode today, I guess. So we're kind of traveling to both our cities in a way. And we're doing maybe a I don't want to say a deeper dive, but maybe taking a closer look at food as medicine and those concepts and weaving in a kitchen surprise. So that's where we're headed today.
Yeah. I was thinking, as you were speaking just now, Jenny, it almost feels like a mashup. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's a total mashup. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of exciting. It's
a mishmash.
Mishmash. Well, it's our usual beautiful mess. We'll say that because that's just standard operating procedures. But I think that we were so inspired by Sabrina's episode that came out in September that we were like, oh man, let's do this. And we had intended to record it earlier, but such as life goes, some things came up and we were like, hey, we got to give ourselves the space to do this when it works. And so today it works, and we've never done one quite like this before. So you're along the ride with us as we head down this twisty little path to talk about food as medicine, and how our lives have sort of intersected with this concept and how it's manifested over the years, individually and collectively, huh, Jen?
Yeah. And I think it's important to talk about it because one, we've had a lot of food as medicine folks on the show, and you know, we kind of float that out there in the world, you know, but do people really understand what it is? And probably from Sabrina's episode, people got a very good idea of what it is from like a physician's perspective. And now I think, you know, we're taking that and kind of putting it into, okay, so how can you take it and run with it at home? And how do you kind of weave those food as medicine concepts into what you're already doing in your life and in your world? Right. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yeah, that's well put. And it's funny, as you were saying that again, I'm sitting here because you're off screen today because of some computer stuff. So I don't see you. And I'm just like hanging on to every word you're saying. And what is interesting is that I think I'm going back to the very beginning, not just the very beginning of yours and my relationship where we connected on the food as medicine. We might not have called it that, but that's what it was. Our healthy kitchens that we'll talk about here in a second, but I think about at the beginning of this pod, how we saw ourselves, and we still do see ourselves as a conduit from like information, concepts, resources through us to our listeners. And I think what we'll do a little bit of today is filter through all of these things, kind of how they manifest in our lives. And we do this with our clients as well. Like, what can you pick up as far as concepts, practices, strategies to drop in your toolbox for your own health?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I don't know, Tony, does it make sense to start with like maybe a couple different definitions of food as medicine?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
You want to take a first crack there?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a couple different, we have a food as medicine and then a culinary medicine. So I'll start with food as medicine. And it's really a concept that emphasizes the role of food and nutrition in preventing, treating, or reversing chronic diseases. And that's, I think, probably why, Tony, you and I became dietitians to begin with, because we believe in that concept and believed in that, you know, from the very beginning. It involves integrating food-based programs and interventions into the healthcare system to address specific health needs and promote health equity. However, food as medicine does not mean that diet can replace medicine in all cases, but rather that it can complement and enhance medical care. And I would say we were here when, you know, we first became dietitians. And I think the healthcare industry, healthcare model has maybe caught up with us dietitians. I don't know, but I feel like I've always felt this way, but certainly our medical system hasn't been set up this way. And it is still very much that allopathic kind of system that Dr. Sabrina was referring to. And, you know, there is a place for that. And I was just telling Brian, my partner, this, that a lot of people, when I talk to them, will poo-poo medicine. And I'm like, no. There, medicine, we need medicine. My son certainly would not be here if it weren't for the Western medical model. I believe that wholeheartedly, and it saved his life. But I would also say that now, you know, he's struggling with immunity and that kind of thing. And I think that's where food as medicine comes into play and needs to be at the forefront. And that's just one example of many that we have from patients, clients, family, friends, et cetera, where we can talk about, you know, how important this food as medicine concept is.
That's great, Jenny. Yeah. And I think the words that jump out to me, I'll read the next definition in a second, but the words that really jump out to me in the definition you just gave really are complement and enhance. You know, those to me are just powerful. I mean, there's tons of stuff that just flash off the page into my eyes and my heart, but those two kind of underscore what you're talking about. So let me step back and do another definition. And again, these, you can find a million different definitions. We just chose these to sort of help situate where we're going today and what we're talking about. So the second is, culinary medicine is a new evidence-based field in medicine that blends the art of food and cooking with the science of medicine. I could just drink that. I could just wrap that sentence around me.
Right.
If that sentence was a scarf, I would just like wrap it around me. it is taught in some medical school programs. Sabrina talked a little bit about that too. The goal of culinary medicine is to help people make good personal medical decisions about accessing and eating high quality meals that help prevent and treat disease and restore well-being. So again, sort of a cheater version of a couple definitions to get us situated. But also along the backdrop of all of this is the fact that there is a lot of policy now that's shifting in the area of honoring food as medicine. And it's sort of trickling down as we speak. And we're starting to see that manifest in the medical world and public health and all sorts of different places. So stay tuned. This is a evolving field. And we do not attempt to cover all bases here. We're just, again, sort of following up the Sabrina talk, taking it through sort of the Jenny Tony life experience and then how it's shown up for us and our clients. So, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good foundation, Jen.
It sure is. And I think just taking a little bit, if you don't mind, Tony, if I read just a little bit from this Food is Medicine article that you sent, I'm just going to read right from this. Poor diet is among the greatest health and societal challenges of our time, causing death and disability, soaring healthcare spending, budget challenges for governments and private business, diminished military readiness, and population disparities. Like that whole thing is just wild to think about. Medicare and Medicaid, so the government programs that pay for medical care for people over age 65, low-income families, disabled, et cetera, now consume nearly one in four in the federal budget. In addition, nearly one in five in the entire U.S. economy is spent on healthcare, creating massive threats to the health of the national economy. And diet-related diseases are major contributors to these expenses. So it, you know, and then it goes on to talk about diabetes and stroke and yada yada, heart disease, et cetera. It's wild to think about just where we are with our food system, our healthcare system, et cetera. And I'll just say one more thing from this article. Minorities and the poor often have the worst diets, causing a vicious cycle of poor health, lower school performance, lost productivity, increased health costs, and poverty. And that last sentence is a tough one to swallow for sure.
Yeah, it's sobering. It's dire. And yet at the same time, I know you and I feel the same way about this, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's also extremely empowering because the power of food, even with slight changes, can make such a gigantic change that I think about how scary that is, that you just, you know, some of the stats and the examples you just gave, but I think about just inoculating, you know, people, and I'm picturing faces of clients and participants over the years, that handing over a new skill in the area of food, how that can just sort of blossom into habits and lifestyles and small changes, big results. You know, I guess I think about the potential and I'm overwhelmed, but hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So you want to walk through a little bit of how this path has been as far as, you know, the way these things have played a role in your career, Miss Jen?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, you know, I came into this field with this idea that I believed that food was really critical in keeping people well and helping people with, you know, managing their disease. And so that's kind of the lens that I've always looked through, as I would say most dietitians probably do. But, you know, when you and I became dietitians in you know, the early 90s, I suppose, is when that happened, you know, our healthcare system looked very different. Our well care system looked very different, for that matter. And, you know, the way that we were taught to practice did not really include food. Right. So it was, you know, teaching people about food. It was doing a lot of outpatient nutrition counseling by writing down, you know, goals for people, or, you know, specifics about what to eat, maybe even a little bit about how to eat. But it certainly didn't use food. Now, early on, I remember probably my first 3 years of practicing, I was doing cooking demos. And in fact, it's funny, Tony, I don't know if I've ever told you this story or not, but my very first job out of college before I became a dietitian was at Emerson Electric, their world headquarters in St. Louis. And I worked in their, you know, in HR, doing corporate wellness, kind of like what I do now. I've come full circle. But we had a dietitian come in and she did a cooking demo for our population. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what I want to do. I just loved it. I remember she made, this is funny, she made a strawberry and goat cheese spinach salad. And, you know, I mean, it's funny. This has been 1992. And here we are, you know, fast forward 30 years later or whatever it is. Oh my God, it is like a little over 30 years later. And we're still kind of doing the same type of things in employee wellness, but I would say we've taken it a lot further. And food is definitely more at the center of the conversation. And so from there, I met you. We did a lot of work in this space, especially around behavior change. And then I think for both of us, things really took a turn when we attended Healthy Kitchens, Healthy Lives in 2007. And that is a conference put on by Harvard Medical School and the Culinary Institute of America. And we got to go up to the CIA in Napa, which was amazing. And a really fun trip. You had a newborn baby with you and your mom was with you too. And that was great. Anyway, I'm digressing a little, but there we saw firsthand how people in the medical system were trying to push this idea of food as medicine. And I know we didn't call it food as medicine then, that those terms came later, and even culinary medicine. I'm not sure we were calling it culinary medicine at that point. But from there on, I was bound and determined to weave more food into my practice, my, you know, how I practice dietetics and nutrition. And so, you know, fast forward to 2015 for me, when I was in the first pilot of the chef coaching program, the Culinary Health Education Fundamentals program, which is chef coaching and culinary coaching, and weaving culinary concepts into my coaching practice. And then, my goodness, you know, started seeing opportunities for how I could weave teaching kitchens, teaching medical students, teaching lay people with food. I was doing work with a local place here. We've had Michelle Moskowitz Brown on the show. She's the executive director of Local Matters, and how they were doing some really unique and innovative culinary education with kids. And so, you know, this movement has kind of grown, and it's grown along with, I think, the local food movement and pulling that into it. And so now I would say, you know, using food to teach is a big part of what I do at what I call my real job, which is still employee wellness at Nationwide Insurance. And, you know, I have a monthly cooking show. I just started doing teaching kitchens where I bring people into the kitchen and do team building activities and cooking together. So it's fascinating to see how it has branched out into these other areas. And, you know, I just think when people can experience making a salad dressing from scratch, cutting up an onion, sauteing greens, making a salad that tastes really good, sitting down and eating together and talking about the experience, it can change a person. I mean, this is amazing, Tony, that the group that I had just like a month ago were all senior vice president leaders in HR, and they could not get over how full they felt the entire day after eating this plant-based meal that we all made together. And so when you experience that and you break through kind of those ideas that people have about what plant-based cooking is, what plant-based meals are, and they taste it, they see, okay, this isn't as hard as I thought it was. This actually is yummy. And I feel good and I feel full and I have energy. It's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. So I was all over the map with that, but that's kind of my swervy little path.
Well, I don't think you were all over the map. I mean, but I also know that route, so I was following it pretty seamlessly. However, you have done an incredible amount of exactly what we're talking about in so many different ways over the years. And listening to that was fun for me because I've sort of saw little images along the way of those things that you had done. And it's funny that you mentioned Michelle from Local Matters, who was one of our very, very first episode years ago. One of the things that she talked about was the power of even just learning how to saute an onion, as you mentioned, and, you know, how that can just shift everything from one simple thing, sort of shatters demystifies, you know, and can really lead to a cascade of other behaviors. But that was really fun. And you know what, as you were talking, I was like, this girl, she could do the whole episode because of the number of things that you've done. And I know for a fact how that translates into what happens in your home. And so that's kind of exciting to circle around to that. I'll do a brief talk through some of the things that have, you know, resonated with me when I think about my journey with these concepts. And like you said, they weren't called that then necessarily, but this is what they were. And the first one was actually in undergrad at Cal Poly. We had to do a senior thesis. Everyone has to do a kind of a learn by doing thesis project. And I was fortunate enough to work with the local education extension program with the county. And so we worked with low income Spanish speaking population. So it was kind of fun. I got to use my Spanish and go out into the field. And we did cooking demos with just basic, low-cost ingredients that were healthy and transformed some of the typical dishes into healthier versions that tasted delicious and just had, you know, a slightly different prep method, but a completely different nutrient profile. So it was a way, because I think when you were talking earlier, Jenny, I was thinking about how so often the nutrition discussion is always about nutrients, and they're so important. But when we lead with where those foods come from and how to operationalize and, you know, make those show up in your home, there's a click, you know, that can happen, a switch that can flip. And that's what I saw with these clients. And that actually was really informative to my journey into public health, I know for a fact. And so my work then has sort of weaved through public health, research, et cetera. But all of the places I've worked, there's been an opportunity to show how to use food that tastes really good and that allows you to feel your best and or manage chronic diseases. So whether that was in public health, in local health departments, again, you know, cooking demo type things. My graduate program also got to take this to the next level in the high school setting with teenage girls, which was a blast. And then moving back here to California, when I was working at Stanford, we did some cooking demos in the local population at a school where they were women and men were learning how to be medical assistants. So they were going to be frontline healthcare providers, learning how to transform their own diet through food, but then being available to talk to patients, you know, even if it's little bits about health and nutrition. But when I was working at Stanford, I had the fortunate opportunity to be a chef assistant at a local kind of, I don't know what you would call it, a gourmet grocery store that had a cooking school. It's called Draeger's. And that was a pivotal point for me because I got to assist with a dietitian who had this amazing business called Nutrition Insights. And I got on board with her and got to go into the tech companies around Silicon Valley doing cooking demos. And it was super fun, very exciting, very creative, which I loved, but also at the end of the day, demystifying, you know, the ways you could take flavor, bring it into food that's healthy and make it part of just how you live your life. So that stuck with me through when Jenny and I, when you and I worked together, you know, on through now at Teen Kitchen Project. I'm fortunate enough to have the opportunity to work with a chef to create these medically tailored meals and work with our clients to explain and inform and inspire lifelong habit change for managing chronic illness and or, you know, overall just staying healthy, feeling good. And so it's been one of those delightful things along with my private practice, which one thing I notice in working with my clients, I have a group that I work with every Monday night. We could talk about every topic in the world and we do, right? We discuss so many things, Miss J, but I notice that the things that stick with them most are when we talk about what does this look like in food. So I have them send me photos of things they've made at home that they love and share with one another. And that's, we could spend almost the whole class each week going through that. But it's to them, it's saying, oh, here's all these ideas. Here's what it could turn out like. I can enjoy it and it'll help me with my health journey. So I'm really excited about it. You were all over the place. I think I was all over the place, but these are the things that tick for me and make me want to just never stop, you know, working in this area.
Yeah, no, you were not all over the place, I don't feel like, but yeah, I mean, it's amazing again, just how the industry has caught up with us. Not that we're like, you know, out there changing the world or anything like that, but, you know, just what we believe in. And I think it was especially eye-opening to hear Dr. Sabrina talk about, you know, how she gets reimbursed for group culinary medicine visits. You know, that's a pioneer. That's innovative. That's huge. That's a game changer because if CMS is reimbursing for that, then other health plans have either already followed or will. And that's really how, you know, we change this game, I think.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
You know, I'll just mention here really quick. I know we're going to talk about how this manifests in our own lives, but we have had quite a few guests on that are really doing a lot in this space. And I know that I'm probably not going to capture all of them, but I wanted to mention just a few. I mean, obviously we just had Dr. Sabrina Falkier on last episode. And then, you know, this kind of falls in line with that, because if you haven't listened to it, our episode with the Kitchenistas, which Dr. Falkier was part of on October 26th of 2022, we had a conversation with Yellowbird Food Shed and Benji, who runs that program or that business, on 5/17/22, we spoke with a number of dietitians who work in this space. Abby Gelman, I know, is one of them. We interviewed her on February 8th of 2022. Dr. Ronnie Pollack on, I think that was November 12th of 2021. Carly Knowles, October 4th of 2021. And Fallon, is it Bader or Bader? Bader?
Mm-hmm.
Bader. I can't remember. Bader of September 8th of 2021. That's just a tiny little handful of I know we've had more than that on, but I just thought, if you guys are like, what's this all about? I'd like to learn more. I'd like to hear about more of this kind of thing. Check out some of those episodes and get a little flavor of this food is medicine and culinary medicine concept. So
great.
Thought I'd throw that out there, Tony.
Well, I'm very appreciative of that, because it's great to call those out, spotlight them. And again, when I pull up our pod and slide back to the beginning, it blows my mind that it was 2019. Jenny, what the heck?
Is it possible? Oh, I know.
That's nuts. Yes.
I know.
February.
Well, it's funny, Tony. You're right. Here we are in 2023, almost 2024 at this. Yeah. I mean, my God, it's October 1st, for goodness sake. I do feel like I've come a little full circle, because on Friday night, I attended the 15th anniversary of our Local Matters nonprofit here in Columbus. It was their annual harvest ball, celebrating that they've been out in the world for 15 years and the amazing work they're doing. And we were able to raise that night like $39,000. To support the work they're doing. And then I think there was a company here in Columbus that matched that. So, I mean, this work is paramount and, you know, incredibly helpful to folks. And it happens because, and I know this is true of Teen Kitchen Project too, it happens because of donors and people who want to support it. And unfortunately, we're not at a place yet where it's become so mainstream that it's paid for and everything's, you know, beautiful and great. I mean, it takes a lot of people giving a lot of money because they believe in it too. So I thought I'd mention that as well.
No, I think that's very important. In fact, I'll see your Local Matters and raise you a Teen Kitchen, because you can tell I just got back from Vegas, because I'm in a gambling mindset. Standing in a farm, on a farm, a couple weeks ago at our Teen Kitchen Project farm dinner, which is our big fundraiser, and looking at two tables that housed almost 200 people, built out, the whole thing built out for this event in the middle of a farm, and listening to stories, right, of the inception of this program, which was 11 years ago, you know, starting to help provide medically tailored meals for people in need, to today, to have the teen kitchen, the teens involved, right? To have them cooking, learning this culinary concept of food is medicine. Excuse me, there's a beep in the back, sorry. And then to have our clients. So Jenny, we had three clients come up and speak in front of almost 200 people about how this program changed their lives, and those voices, right? Just the testimonial, the heartfelt emotion about how something, whether it's medically tailored meals, medically tailored groceries, whatever it is, it equates to food is medicine, food as medicine, both. And it's beautiful. It's just like music to your ears to hear how this transforms lives in many ways. So that was our big fundraiser, and was the biggest we've ever had. And yet we still do get some funding through some of these local health programs who know, listen, if we underwrite healthy meals for our most fragile, you know, population medically, we can keep them out of the hospital, you know, so they're motivated for different reasons, maybe financially, but they know that at the end of the day, it equals health. And when you talk about that economic burden mentioned earlier, I think we're starting to see the trickle down, and it's very, very hopeful. And I'm excited about where that's going.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, Toni. It really is. I think talking just a little bit, Toni, about how, you know, the concepts that we have learned have changed how we operate in our own kitchens, I think would be helpful to others, and what that looks like for us, you know, daily, weekly, whatever, how that's changed how we prepare our own meals would be kind of fun to talk through. And I think people always wonder, like, well, what do they do? I get that a lot from folks.
Yeah, for sure. So let's do that. Let's, you know, take out to the specifics a few things that we are utilizing, some of our hacks or strategies, or even just the kind of the behavioral mechanisms we use to make sure we have these things working for us. So why don't you start up, Ms. J?
Yeah, I would say one of the big things that I do is, and this sounds so basic and maybe even boring, but I make a big salad every week, or at least sometimes at least once a week, maybe twice a week. I find that it keeps for about a week, which a lot of people are like, what, salad, really? And the way that I do this is, first of all, I get produce from Yellowbird Food Shed, which is the local food, I guess, conduit here in central Ohio. And so using produce from Yellowbird, it is very fresh. And so it lasts longer because it hasn't been sitting around. I mean, they harvest it and I get it at my door maybe in like 1 or 2 days, you know? And so the second thing I do is that I make sure I put this in a glass container. It just stays better than like in some kind of plastic or some other kind of container. So glass container is key, and I don't put dressing on it. That's also key because then it'll wilt and get really gross. And so when I do that, that thing lasts me. And I, you know, so I use that as a base for things. I use it as a side for things. I use it as my lunch. You know, I make a big, huge container of it. So that's one like kind of basic thing I do. I also make my own dressing. I use mason jars, and I like can literally use the measurements on the side of the mason jar, so I don't even have to measure anything out. And it always turns out really good. I typically use a 2-to-1 ratio of oil to acid, or, you know, whether that's lemon juice or balsamic vinegar, whatever. And so that's always like just a given. So, I mean, and that can go on, you know, cut up veggies if I need, or it can be a marinade if I need, or definitely a salad dressing. So those are two like super basic things that I do. And then the other thing I think I have learned to do as my skills have evolved is plan from plants. So I use plants as my center when I'm planning meals, and then maybe, you know, maybe add a fish to it, or maybe add a, you know, whatever to it. But like the plant is at the center of what I am planning. And that's either because I do a farmer's market visit, or I have my box and I have, you know, these interesting veggies that I want to make the center of my meal, whether that's beets or, you know, right now we have this beautiful acorn squash that we're going to do something with tonight. So like, you know, those are the kind of things where it's like, I'm planning my meal around plants instead of animal protein. So those are a couple different things. What about you, Toni? What are some of your hacks?
Well, we definitely have a lot of overlap. No surprise. I would swap out the food box, which you use for the farmer's market, because that's just me, because I live, you know, 3 blocks from one that's here every Sunday. So that's actually, after this recording, my husband and I will walk down there and I will just grab whatever looks good and is fresh, and I can visualize, you know, having as sort of a staple throughout the week. Go and I, you know, I bring several bags because I've made mistakes over the years of not bringing enough. And then, you know, Pat and I have a cauliflower on our head and our arms full of other, you know, greens and whatnot. But I try to pick up fresh herbs there, fresh ginger, to really add some pop and flavor to my veg that I will prepare typically on Sundays. I always have big salads too, sort of the Seinfeld Elaine big salad mantra always going through my head. And that salad may transform as the week goes on. I might have some elements that remain and I sort of augment with veg from, you know, other things I've cooked during the week. So it looks very different during the week. And that salad could be a side one day, put into a wrap another day. It could be, you know, with a saute. Like I throw it on top of baked potatoes. Like it just shows up in a lot of different iterations is what I'm getting at. But I try also.
I like that. Sorry to interrupt.
No,
I like that. That's great.
That's been really important to me because around here, I'm not going to name names, but some people do not dig leftovers. So I have the fortunate job of kind of trying to make things look different as the week goes on. So I've been pretty crafty with trying to transform things so that certain people aren't as attuned to the fact that it's the same players, right?
Yeah. Sneaky. Yeah.
I'm super sneaky. Let's see. I also like to batch cook a lot. That's one of my things that, and sometimes I'll take like little videos or photos and send them off to my clients just to kind of get, you know, inspired and, you know, kind of create community around that. But I love to do big sautés. I love to do a ton of roasting, simple salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil. And if I have garlic, you know, of course I toss it on, or lemon zest or lemon juice. I mean, I'm pretty free form with herbs and other types of aromatics. I like to do slow cooker. So I'll put a ton of potatoes, all kinds of potatoes, sweet, if I do sweet, and other, you know, russet or Yukon golds, I'll put the sweets wrapped in foil at the bottom of the slow cooker and then layer other potatoes on top, let them go, you know, for let's say 5 hours or so. And then the whole week I have a huge amount of potatoes to use in different forms. And again, for me, that's really important. I have a daughter who's a vegetarian, so I'm always looking for ways to have different, you know, colors and textures and all of that. So another thing I do a lot of. You said 2-to-1 for your dressings. I am a dressing freak as well. So I try to either find dressings that fit that bill as far as, you know, flavors, or I've been known to do a lot of combinations, for example, salsa, you know, whether it's pico de gallo or fresh roasted salsa, and I will have that as a dressing, or I will fold in a tablespoon of a favorite ranch dressing into, you know, a salsa to kind of get a little bit of a Southwestern ranch. And so I kind of play around with these things in different ways. But when you said 2-to-1, which is so clever, I kind of use that same adjustment from the typical 3-to-1 oil to acid. I use a 3-to-1 with my veg, Jenny. And what I mean for that is that I shoot for my meals to have sort of a 3-to-1 produce or plant to protein ratio. So when I'm conceptualizing the plate, I try to envision three, whether those are grains and, you know, veg or, you know, even fruit or whatever, 3-to-1. And that helps me build out a very rich and varied plant base to what I offer up in the kitchen and for lunches and all of that. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of my.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I like that. It's kind of like the plate method, you know, and it's very much a 3-to-1. Yeah. If you think about it like that, but I think it's actually almost easier to envision. I like it.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. There,
so I mean, fun.
Yeah. Little strategies like that, I think are so key. And I think the other thing, you know, and we've both mentioned it, but it's the planning piece. Without planning ahead, without, like, you know, the plan and getting the stuff, or it's getting the stuff and then doing the plan, you know, whatever, however it manifests, but having that little bit of work before the week starts is key. if that doesn't happen, then, you know, like if we were on vacation and, you know, we came back and we just have to dump right into the week and, you know, the plan isn't there, or the box isn't there, you know, the farmer's market visit didn't happen, the grocery visit didn't happen, you know, things can get a little hairy.
Yeah.
And so that planning piece is key, and I can't say enough about it.
Right. And I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's what we spend a lot of time talking to our clients about.
100%. And I was just sliding through our episodes because I feel like we did a behavior change basic on planning, but maybe not.
Mm.
If not, we need to, because I think what the main thing we've noticed over the years, and this is true for each of us as well, is that the word plan can be that four-letter word that, you know, there might be people that just went click, you know, right then when they heard plan, because it's such right. a, you know, but I think what you and I've talked about throughout many episodes is the idea that those four letters, when they come together, mean something different for everyone. And even the things we just talked about, those are forms of planning, whether it's making sure you get to the grocery or you do your batch cook. It doesn't need to be a calendar across the week, Monday through Sunday, and what, you know, what are you going to do every, it doesn't need to be that. It could start off with a, you know, a few strategies that manifest as a form of planning. I always tell my clients this, it's like, you know what, even if it's a couple minutes at the end of a night where you look ahead at, okay, where am I heading tomorrow? And you have a few things that you could do that day, that fits, that is a plan. And you, yep. can go from there, you know, to get more sophisticated or detailed, but give yourself credit and give yourself a place to start. Because if you are daunted by the word plan, it could be stifling, and it actually small bits give you that wind at your back to move forward.
I like that. Yeah. You got to make it fit what you need it to do.
Yeah. For sure.
For sure. Oh, I love it. You know, I will say one more thing. And I think you kind of have this a little bit built in with, like, you know, you have citrus trees in your backyard, and I don't know if you grow herbs or not, Tony, I forget, but my little herb garden, I saves me so much. I mean, you know, to have that and know that I have my basil, I have my rosemary, I have my chives and my thyme, all of that, you know, it's just lovely to just go out and grab that, you know, making eggs or making whatever, you know, salads, et cetera. So anyway.
Well, that's huge. I mean, I feel like those little bits really transform and pop, you know, flavors that could be very, very simple. And, you know, it's one of those things that, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say this as well. And that is that anything that you plan to integrate or plug in or attempt in this area in your own home, pay attention to it. Pay attention to the flavors, heighten your own awareness to the process, what goes into it, what comes out of it, how you enjoy it. Because again, those are the things that stick, whether it's a sprinkle of, you know, mint or fresh thyme, or, you know, or if you don't have fresh herbs, you know, when you notice a little sprinkle of a herb blend you buy at Trader Joe's or the grocery, notice that, because these are the things that afford you the connection of flavor to health, and it can help make sure those things remain. And those little things you add in, it's like everything you add in is going to be a net positive to your repertoire and therefore your health.
Yep. Yeah. And it'll keep you coming back.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Yep.
Love it. Well, Tony, I know that you have some music.
I do. And I am noticing the time, so I'm going to try not to go overboard too much, Miss J, but I was very inspired when we decided to do this episode, because it felt really, really personal. And it sounds funny about cooking, but I think that for you and I, our personalities show up a lot into this as well.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So I have a ton of songs. I have 2 hours and 20 minutes worth of songs. So, hey, but the first song on this playlist is Remedy. And this is with Maroon 5 and Stevie Nicks, two people I love a lot. Now, this is an explicit version, so be warned. I don't know that it's horrible, but, you know, typically at the beginning of our episodes, we do the GIVE acronym. We didn't do it today. But Jenny, I'm going to throw a challenge out to you. I've already started with a REMEDY acronym, because I feel like bringing home cooking skills and incorporating them into your life, the culinary approach is a remedy, is a cure. And so again, not to everything, but from a nourishing standpoint from home and cooking. Mm-hmm. So I will wait for another episode to kind of fill out, but I just love the idea of R-E-M-E-D-Y as also, you know, something to think through, you know, how this manifests for us. So remedy is one song. I have several songs that are, of course, from Broadway shows, but two of them are Do Your Own Thing from Bring It On the Musical and Wait For It from Hamilton. And again, I think those are kind of obvious when you think about creating your own health habits and the fact that they may not come overnight. You may need to wait for it and, you know, stay with it. I also have Real World with Matchbox 20. I'm a huge Rob Thomas fan, but I think Real World is, again, taking these concepts and bringing them into your world. Unwell, also by Matchbox 20. And I just think about sort of flipping that from unwell, you know, how we can take the reins. And then I also brought in some kind of basics that were step by step, because I do think if you are heading in this direction, you need to give yourself the patience and the time and the grace to take these things step by step or bit by bit. And so I have two step by step songs, one by New Kids on the Block and one by our girl Whitney. And the one by Whitney, Jenny, the lyrics are so powerful when you think about in this context that, you know, what we're working on here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So Color My World from Chicago. Again, I think about the colors. And, you know, some people like to cook through a color spectrum, you know, like adding more colors to their plates.
Absolutely.
True Colors, my friend Cyndi Lauper there as well. And then I really thought it would be fun to add in a few things like Confident by Demi Lovato, you know, just sort of like building that confidence in the kitchen. I Can Feel It by Kane Brown, you know, like noticing how these changes make you feel. I also picked Celine Dion. It's All Coming Back to Me Now, because I think for some of us, some of you listeners, it may be revisiting, maybe you're dusting off and remembering things that you used to do. So, you know, you may feel things coming back to you, which is very exciting because there may be some dormant habits that you can bring back in, or recipes that you're like, oh my God, where have you been?
I love it.
Of course, Montel Williams, This Is How We Do It. Very fun.
I was just looking at that. Yes, I love it.
And then Miss Patti LaBelle, New Attitude, because again, the attitude you bring toward this is really important. And that will be distinct. It will be your own attitude, but an open mind and an attitude of, you know, keeping at it and, you know, trying new things and giving yourself space and being excited and, you know, I don't know, being okay when things don't work and open, right?
Yeah.
And there's others on here, but I'll finish with a couple from, I just got back from a Lady Gaga concert in Las Vegas last night. And I think that, again, there's a few songs on here. Bad Romance I picked because of sort of the connection we have to health the connection we have and the addictions we have to food that is not good for us, right? And how the world is set up. So it's kind of like breaking up with that stuff and moving into a healthier relationship, meaning, you know, yourself.
I like that. Yeah.
And then I also picked, there's two other Lady Gaga songs there. You can check it out. But the last one I picked was The Cure. And again, I really do feel like when you look at something you can do to improve your health, again, it may not be the medical cure for everything. Like Jenny said earlier, medicines are needed, right? But food as medicine, in food is medicine, are things that we can bring into our worlds to help us feel better, live a healthier life, enjoy life. You know, again, I like that idea of adding that tool to your toolkit.
Yeah, it's definitely an add to, not a takeaway, for sure. And I love your remedy. I love it. And I wrote that down when you said it, and the things that popped into my head, I don't have a ton of them, of course, but real, you know, so keeping it real, but also using real food, real whole food, manage for the M. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something we have to constantly manage, and it gets easier and easier. Do it, you know, just do it for the D. And then the why, you know, this is for you, but you also have to make it your own. And so, yeah, those are just things.
Oh, I'm so glad you added those in, because you know what's funny? I didn't have full letters yet because this came to me like on the plane home too. But I had for R, roadmap. For M, I had muddle, you know, because I feel like sometimes you have to muddle through it. For E, I had experiment.
Love it.
I also had do for D. And then I had for you, I had you, I mean, why? I had you or your way. So we were on the same page for sure.
No, we were on the same page. Yeah. I love how you said experiment too. I know we're way over, but I'll just mention this. If you guys think of this as an experiment, not a have to, not a should, but it's, you're just keeping things curious and you're just doing this as an experiment to see how it lands. Take what works, let the rest go. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to tell yourself, you know, all those stories. But when you have an experimental kind of attitude about it, I think it lands a little softer for people, and it just makes it a bit easier to stick with, in my estimation.
No,
Poppy agrees too.
Poppy agrees. Good. Thank you, Miss Pop. The other thing is, I mean, just a slight change of letters, but similar subtlety, experience, right? So like when you think about confidence and skill base and all of that, and we can relate it to other areas of our lives. I mean, think about some of our clients, Jenny, over the years that are, they're people in the, well-known people in the world that have changed, you know, like innovators, geniuses. This part of their life can elude them, right? Like, how do I figure out how to do this? And it's like, wait a minute, if you could take that mindset you have toward, you know, your work or other things that you know you have to, you know, build experience, same here. So give yourself the runway for that, you know, plug in, be present. Like you said, experiment, experience, however you want to come at it. Either way, you're going to learn a lot in the process and hopefully be on the other side with a toolkit and some delicious food that can help you feel better, look better, be healthier, you know, all that.
Absolutely. Love it.
Oh, this is fun.
It was fun. It was fun. I think this is such an important piece of the puzzle, you know? I mean, this is, to me, this is the piece of the puzzle that we need to figure out. So,
well, and it's the reason we keep doing the work we do. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? It just keeps us going personally, professionally. And, you know, we want to hear from you folks. Like, this was, you know, a total dialogue just between me and Miss J, but we are speaking to you and we want to share it with you. So let us know, you know, send us pictures, send us messages of what you're doing. We would love to share that with our listener community. But as always, we just appreciate you so much. We appreciate the feedback, the rates, the reviews, all of that. Again, just an amazing part of this podcast journey that we're so grateful to be a part of.
For sure. I couldn't have said it any better.
All right, Miss J, we'll talk
soon. Tony, some, yes. Love you lots, girl.
Love you too, girl. Bye.
Bye.